This message comes from NPR sponsor, Hulu. Based on shocking true events, the new Hulu original series, Under the Bridge, tells the story of a savage murder in a small town. Starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone, Under the Bridge is now streaming with new episodes Wednesdays, only on Hulu.
You know, for months now, I have been interviewing all of my guests for this show remotely. And y'all, I really, really miss talking to my guests in person, being in the same room with them, because it's always more fun that way, always. And that is why I am happy to share, for this episode, a chat from the before times, when my guest talked with me very much in person.
Oh, my God.
I apologize.
Don't apologize.
I'm so sorry.
I just want to be hugged.
This guest was late to our interview in L.A. last year because of Australian actor Ben Mendelsohn.
There's a guy with a giant truck outside. I can't get in. And I was like, it's Ben Mendelsohn. And he literally, I'm in a loner car, so I didn't want to mess it up. And he literally helped me park my car.
Takes a village. Okay.
But this guest did not come empty-handed.
Get it all up. Oh, I brought you a present.
Wait, what?
It's like Jolly Rancher crack, but not sugar, and your teeth won't fall out.
Halter.
That guest, actress Pamela Adlon, she came ready to play.
So we're not cursing. We don't.
You can curse, and we'll bleep it.
Because I said
curse.
The word tits with Terry Gross, and she was like, we're on the radio. I was like, I'm so sorry, Miss Terry.
I was playing that one yesterday. It was really good. Oh, now they want you close to the mic.
Hi. It's me and Sam. We're the tits, baby.
Now they're saying not that close. I like it. Terry's good. Terry does this thing where, like, you want to impress her.
Oh.
You want to impress Terry Gross.
You're immediately a child around her. I've never been in the same room with her, but I always feel very reverent. And, oh, it's Miss Terry.
Yes, yes. Miss Terry, exactly.
Yeah.
Miss Terry.
Yes.
I love it. Well, this will not be that.
Okay.
You're listening to It's Been a Minute from NPR. I'm Sam Sanders. On the show today, we're going to revisit one of my last in-person interviews before COVID sent all of us home. It is my chat with Pamela Adlon. She is the writer, director, showrunner, creator, snack bringer, and star of the critically acclaimed FX show Better Things. Pamela does a lot for that show, and that is because the show is basically her life, literally. Better Things is a comedy drama about a divorced actress raising three kids in L.A. And Pamela, in real life, is a divorced actress raising three kids in L.A. In this chat, we'll talk about how Pamela juggles everything, how you grow to see your parents as real three-dimensional people, and the awful, crazy, beautiful, wonderful experience of becoming a parent yourself. All right, listeners, if you haven't already guessed, Pamela is not afraid to use colorful language. So, a warning to y'all. The bleep tone gets a workout in this one. Here's Pamela Adlon.
I'm so happy to have you here.
Thank you.
I have been a fan of your show for years, and I'm honored to talk with you about that and a lot more. But
please.
I want to start by asking you about your directorial debut.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about you directing a music video for Madonna.
Yes. Oh, my God. It's so funny.
Please tell me all about it.
I know. Okay, so we made this video. Madonna had this contest, and she looked at the camera, and this was when MTV was fun.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, go ahead, make my video.
For which song?
True Blue.
Oh, yeah.
And we made the video, and my protagonist, heroine in the video, was my best friend, Gail Boggs,
okay.
who is black,
mm-hmm.
and then the hero's boyfriend was our friend Tucker, who was like this beautiful, like square-jawed white guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had this mannequin that she walked around. It was all downtown LA. And we did all these things with color and everything. And we were like, let's just go throw this into the contest. And we made top 10.
I love it. I love it. How much of that director can we still see or feel in your show now? And Better Things.
I think it's completely different in the fact that I did that with two other people.
Huh.
I wouldn't say that my show isn't collaborative now because I have so many people on my crew
mm-hmm.
and in my cast and my staff. And so I give props to everybody. But
you drive that ship.
Oh, yeah. I'm running it.
Well, because you're director, head writer, lead actress in the thing, showrunner, everything.
Yeah. And I'm a mom first. Yeah. So I've always kind of been a mom in my life. Like, my friends used to call me mommy when I was in my 20s. And I had a sofa bed, like this pull-out couch. Everybody lived there.
Really?
Everybody lived in my apartment.
Yeah.
They called me mommy or care unit. And I took care of everybody.
Yeah.
And so when I became a mommy, I wasn't ready for being a mommy of human girls.
Yeah.
So that's like a crash course. And then I had one, and then I had another, and I had another. And then being a mommy without a partner in the house was another crash course. And then kind of waking up and realizing, oh, maybe I need to put myself out there and do more things now.
Yeah. We should stop right now to give a little elevator pitch
of
the show for those who haven't watched it yet. You're missing out. Watch this show. But describe your show in 25 seconds.
Oh, I thought you were going to do it. Sam!
No easy answers here, Pamela.
Oh, my God.
I'll help you out. You don't need any help.
Okay, so it's a story of a lovely lady who was bringing up the very lovely girl. I never did that before.
I love it.
It's perfect.
That was really great.
Yes. And so she's bringing up her daughters, single mom in Los Angeles. She's kind of just a punch the time card actor, gun for hire, has an English mother who lives next door. And it's a human show, and it's not a lady show. I used to fight because everybody was like, oh, that's for chicks. And it's not.
No, it's not. Yeah. And there is, you do something with your show that could be really difficult and really hard and really confusing. Your character, Sam, is her own fully formed character with plot lines that are her own in that show. But we also know that a lot of Sam's character comes from your own life, from Pamela's life. And it's there's got to be a delicate balancing act of making sure both of those people, Pamela and Sam, feel different. Even though a lot of their stories are similar.
Yeah.
How have you worked through that tension, if it's a tension?
I love that because that's new. I haven't touched on that in quite a while. It was harder for me to inhabit Sam than any other character I've done.
Even though she's the most like you.
Yeah.
Like, in many ways, you know, former child actress, three kids, single parent, lives in L.A., British mother. That's you.
Exactly.
But this was the hardest, you say?
Well, it just, because I was like, you know, even when I was pitching the show, I thought, oh, I'm not interesting enough to have a show of my own.
Huh.
There's no way that anybody's going to want to watch me.
You know, men don't say that. But go ahead.
Well, I do. You know, I mean, and I thought, I have to take it so completely far away from my life. It can't be me as an actor. It can't be me, you know, with three girls. It has to be something different. And my dad, who was a writer, would always say, write what you know.
Yeah.
And this is very simple 101 stuff. And so when I leaned into that and take the bones of my life and just kept that, then you jump off from there.
Yeah. And you end up making a show that only you can make.
Yes,
which is the best show, because then they can't fire you.
That's where I've, listen, I always felt like at a certain point, they're going to pull me out and put Amanda Peet in here. Like, they're just going to be like, no, she ain't all that. We don't like that. You know, I always, always felt, oh, God, yes. I've always been waiting for the rug to get pulled out from under me, or like the Lucy with the football thing. But that's the survivor in me. And my friend Robin always says, that's the potato farmer. That's the that's the Goyish side of you that keeps going, that keeps going.
Because you don't know when they might come and just take it.
Yeah, exactly.
When do you not feel that feeling?
It's always kind of there, you know? I always have this little buzz, like I have to take care of everything. I definitely don't feel that I have to prove myself the way I used to. Mm-hmm. There was a time years ago when IMDb started mm-hmm. that I was like, why do they have my birth year on there? That's poison. That's like a bullet.
Yeah.
That's a loaded gun yeah. pointing at a woman in Hollywood.
You think it's better now?
I do. I
How
really
much
do.
How much better?
You see women who are in their 60s and 70s and 80s who are working.
Yeah.
We've been waiting for our stories to be told.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like when women are in it, it's always better,
Agreed.
You know? So I do think it's a lot better. I think that there's a lot of work for like young, hot girls, you know? But I think that there's a lot of work for old women like me too.
Into it. Into it. Into it.
Coming up, more of my encore chat with Pamela Adlon and why she can't help being a mom to everyone, including me.
Support for NPR and the following message come from FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming only on Hulu.
This message comes from the BBC with Where to Be a Woman. Join hosts Saatchi Kaul and Sophia Smith-Gaylor to find out where in the world women can live their best lives. Search for Where to Be a Woman from BBC Podcasts.
Life Kit is rethinking New Year's resolutions. All this January, we're thinking about both really big and really small changes. If you're wanting to change up your life and start fresh, we've got you covered. If you're looking to just make your home a little nicer, we got you there too. Listen now to the Life Kit podcast from NPR.
This story, on a surface level, you know, functions as a telling of what it's like to be a modern single parent. But it also, in this really smart way, gets into what it means to be a person who is taking care of their parents right now, today.
Mm-hmm.
There is this scene in the premiere of season 4
mm-hmm.
where you have what could be a stereotypical mom of 3 kids moment. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pull this car over. But in the scene, you pull the car over because your elderly mom is just going crazy. It's not the kids.
Yes.
It's your mom.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm like, oh, I get this.
Yeah, it's a thing.
Yeah.
I guess they're calling my generation the sandwich generation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's another way that the show has really changed my life and been therapeutic for me because my mother used to drive me crazy. She'll tell me the same story over and over.
Yeah.
Please don't talk about Verizon calling the person,
uh-huh.
You know, and going to the store. And she went to how many doctor's visits and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to make me want to tear my hair out.
Yeah.
And then one day I'm sitting there looking at my mom and I'm like, oh, this is funny.
Yeah.
She's funny.
Yes.
If I just get out of my own way and I look at it for what it is, it changed everything.
Yeah. Well, and this is the thing that kids don't realize until a certain moment, somewhere in their 20s, something clicks and you say, oh, my God, my parents were fully formed human beings before I got here.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Right?
Yeah. It's something that, you know, I feel like if my show was on any other network, it would be like, you know, Sam's, you know, dealing with her mom, her kooky mom. She's dealing with her terrible kids.
Mm-hmm.
When will Sam find love? Like, that is so the opposite of what the show is. It's just human interaction and just nothing is cut and dry.
Yeah. And no one is exactly a hero or a villain.
That's right.
Sometimes the daughters are total a-holes.
Yes.
Other times they're the voice of reason.
Yes.
Sometimes Sam is the best mother in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Other times she's yelling profanities at everyone around.
That's right.
And that's life. But it takes a certain level of self-realization to get there. Like, what in your life brought you to a place where you're able to say in your life and in your work, no one's cut and dry. Everyone is complex. Everyone, because like it'd be really easy to make a show with stock characters.
You know, I feel like life experience and all of that, but really my kids.
Really?
You know, because they are incredibly thoughtful, completely conscious people. And when they say, Mom, don't do that. You don't know their story.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very fair and right-minded
mm-hmm.
with the world and with other people. Not with each other and me. No.
Yeah.
But I don't know what my life would be like if I would have survived this long. What they have given me is just endless. And the way I look at my life is really, my kids have really fueled that. I mean, I kind of always was that way a little bit.
Yeah. Speaking of ways in which you were always like that, you know, you've mentioned a few times now that you're the caring one, you're the mother, you're the nurturer, that you're the one who takes care of the people. Why do you think that is? Because, like, I feel like I'm a decent human being. I'm not that guy. I ain't feeding you. I'm not hosting the party. I will show up. I will drink your alcohol. But I'm not...
See, I even brought you a
you
hostess
brought me candy.
Gift.
Yeah.
I know.
What's that about? I love it. What's it about?
I guess it was something that was always in me. Like, if I was at somebody's house, I would do their dishes. Like, if
what?
I know.
Was your mom like
I want to be more like you, Sam. Yeah,
I'm just literally, I don't do my own dishes.
I'm not picking up the check. I'm not going to do the dishes. Sure, I'll come over. I would like a little more of that, but I think that I'm sometimes it's too much.
Really?
I liken it to the scene of Whoopi Goldberg in Ghost after the ghost leaves her and she goes and she's sitting there and she's exhausted.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of like that because I let everybody take a piece.
And it is, for me at least, it was interesting and refreshing to see in your character on the show a woman who is extremely successful and career driven and goal oriented and doing all of the work, but also still doing the I am the mother with the minivan picking the kids up.
Yeah.
I am at home cooking them dinner. You're doing both, or your character's doing both. And
right.
It's not in this way that is Sheryl Sandberg, you can have it all. You're doing it all, but you're still like, it's stressful. It's a lot.
Yeah.
You're showing it really raw.
Well, I was in my life and I was, you know, shooting Californication mm-hmm. or recording the Tinkerbell movies or any of the other Disney stuff that I was doing.
Yeah.
And King of the Hill and living this, you know, quote unquote Hollywood life.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of the day, I would be like cleaning up dog and pulling the cans in and doing all the mundane things. And I thought, this is so crazy. It's funny to me.
Uh-huh.
I wonder if anybody else would think it's funny, but you know, so I went through that and that's what I was able to put in the show.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like you can have it all.
Yeah.
But what I needed
uh-huh.
when I was a young mom
uh-huh.
was other moms to share with me.
Uh-huh.
So when I was looking at the robot mom who was like making the
uh-huh.
the thing and the casseroles uh-huh. for the class and everything. And I'm like, oh my God, how does she do that? I need to know. And I always felt a little bit judged.
Mm.
And I needed somebody to be a bro to me as
and
say, a mom.
Here's all of it.
Yes.
It looks like this and that.
Can I look in your kid's lunchbox? I want to see what you made your kid for lunch.
Yes. Yeah.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
So that's what I do with my show now that I hope that other moms and parents can see. And as a woman,
mm-hmm.
I know that sharing with other women is the most generous thing you can do.
Mm. Okay, time for one more break. When we come back, a very special message to Pamela Adlon from a very special friend of the show. There's tears, there's laughter, there's whitefish salad.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Discover. Here's a familiar situation. You have a question about your credit card. You call the number for help and can't get a hold of anyone. If only you had a Discover card. With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Does your economy seem sluggish? Are your interest rates feeling abnormally low? Your economy might be exhibiting symptoms of a once-in-a-lifetime recession. Ask your podcast provider about a twice-weekly dose of Planet Money. The economy can be perplexing. NPR's Planet Money can help.
This is from a friend of yours.
What?
I told him I was talking to you.
Pamela Adlon, it's your friend Ari Shapiro.
Oh.
From the first day I met you, when I showed up for an interview and you had half-sour pickles and smoked whitefish salad and bagels, and my God, my mouth is watering just remembering this. I knew that this was going to be an extraordinary friendship. I don't know anyone who does as many things as you do and does them all so damn well. I am in awe of you, I'm impressed by you, and I miss you. Sending you a big hug from the East Coast, Pan Aldon.
Yes! Oh my God, that made me cry.
He's the sweetest guy.
I can't believe it.
He's the best.
He
interviewed you how many years ago?
Oh my God.
And y'all just stayed in touch, right? I love that.
We did.
I love that.
Oh my God. I love him so much. I'm crying.
It's okay.
I can't believe he got my name right, too. So that just really, thank you.
Of course. I wanted you to hear it. But I also want to talk about a thing he brought up in that voice message for you. He talked about all this food you had laid out.
Yeah.
The thing I noticed on the show, Sam, the character, is extremely busy all the time, and yet she's always cooking for everybody.
Yeah.
Why is she cooking so much? I think of my mother, who was a busy working woman, and the first thing she outsourced was the food. She wasn't doing it. Someone else would.
Well, you know, for me, it's occupational therapy.
Hmm.
Like, it helps me.
Hmm.
So, like, when I say I get anxiety or the Sunday scaries, I'm focused on this one thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm making sauce.
Yeah.
I'm doing a chicken. I'm making a lasagna or quiche or whatever. It's so healing for me to just do something like that. And I cook the way I cook.
Yeah.
I'm not an expert. I don't know what I'm doing.
It looks good on the show. Like, I can recall you making lasagna that
one
scene. I was like, that looks like good lasagna.
It is good.
It's good and saucy.
Because it's the thing that brings my people together. You know, and so it was the one thing, like, the way I could give love to my family is through food.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And Rocky, my youngest, said to me one day, she goes, Mom, I don't really like that brown chicken, but I'll eat it because you made it. But just so you know. And I'm like, okay.
There is this really interesting dynamic that I see in the show that has been making me unpack all the ways I was or was not nice to my parents as a teenager.
Mm.
And watching your show, I'm just like, I think I was really rude to my parents for several years.
I love that. It's
and I'm
so
like,
funny.
I think I got to call them up and be like, sorry about that.
I love that.
You know?
Yeah.
You lay it out so bare because, like, these kids in the show, they love their mother.
Yeah.
But every other sentence is, Mom! Mom!
I know.
Mom!
It's just the cut down contrary.
Yes, yes.
I'm sorry. It's opposite day every single day of my life.
Yeah.
I apologize.
Yeah.
I love that. I have a guy who's been with me for years since the beginning of the show as a post PA writer's assistant, Ryan. And he would say to me every day, he said, I call my mom so much now.
Really?
I see you momming so hard and then doing the show, and it makes me appreciate my mom.
I love that. I love that. Everything I've read about the show and how you run it makes it seem that the space in which the show is made is a woman's space, and it feels inherently different from a set run by a dude. What are the biggest differences?
Well, it's a thing. Like, when we would have guest stars come, they would say, wait, what's going on?
Really?
What's going on?
Really?
It just feels different. It feels less, I don't know if this is the right word, important.
Okay.
But like everything when men are walking around and we're talking about equipment and Lindsay. You know, no.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be that way.
Stripped of ego.
Yes. When you strip it of that, your days are shorter, more efficient.
Mm.
You're getting what you need. And, you know, I mean, I fight that feeling even on my set that I'm running. And I have a female first AD. There's other elements that come in that we're like, okay, well, that's not the way we're doing it here.
Yeah.
And then when I'm like if I go and do another TV show or a movie, I see all of that stuff happening there, and I'm biting my tongue because I'm not running it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, don't tell them how to do it.
Yeah.
But there's an easier way to do things that doesn't strip the crew of their marrow and makes you want to go to work every day.
Well, and like small things, like I've read a lot now that you just kind of like make sure everyone's day ends at a reasonable hour so they can go home to dinner with their families.
Yeah.
I want to say that I really appreciate the way that you have dealt with Louis C.K. and the fallout from that since his incidents. And I really appreciate the way that you still keep his name in the credits as a creator of the show. Mm-hmm. Because I think we're in this moment right now where there is a certain pressure under the Me Too movement to disappear these men.
Yeah.
And to make them go all the way away and to forget they ever existed. But I don't think that's fair.
Yeah.
We got to remember it happened so it didn't happen again.
Yeah.
In the same way, it's like, I don't ever want to stop talking about slavery.
Yeah.
You can't not talk about it.
Yep.
You know, there has to be a realization that these men were there, they were a part of this industry, and their legacies can live on in positive or negative lights, but it's there.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have to answer questions about that man for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
But I appreciate that you don't ignore that he was a part of your life.
Oh, he's a huge part of my story. Yeah. And you look back at Louis, the show, and it's just this magnificent thing, you know? I mean, the show was just great, and the contributions to better things. And so, yeah, it's significant because when you realize, I kind of did something in season one of the show where we're at the anti-patriarchy rally.
Oh, yeah. I love that
one. Do you remember
that? I do.
And Frankie's like, Gandhi was pen pals with Hitler. And Martin Luther King beat his wife. And I'm like, what are you saying? And she's a 12-year-old girl.
Yeah.
And then Mother Teresa sucked. She was a Catholic nun. There was nothing good about her. You know, it's just a kid saying these things.
Yeah.
But she's saying our heroes, have flaws.
Yeah. And like you were saying at the top of the interview, like, no one's one thing. No one is just one thing.
That's right.
There's good and bad in all of us, and we can speak to that. And that's just life.
That's right.
You know? Anyways, I know you have to go. This last question is very personal. I cannot figure out whether Better Things the Show is saying to people without kids, oh my God, have kids, it's the best thing ever. Or if it's saying to people without kids, do not do this. I say this as someone who is 35 and considers one day having children.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, what does Better Things tell me about parenthood? Better Things want me to do it or not?
Guess what?
What?
It's in the middle of those two things. Right down the middle, baby.
Okay. Okay.
It's both.
Yeah.
It's not one or the other.
Oh.
It's like, this is messed up. Don't ever do it.
Uh-huh.
Or this is the greatest thing. You're going to get so much back.
Thanks again to my guest, actress Pamela Adlon. We talked last year in the before times. All four seasons of Pamela's really, really good show, Better Things, are on FX streaming right now. It's one of those shows where before you know it, you have cried and laughed in the same episode. It's real good. This episode was originally produced by Janae West and edited by Kitty Isley. One last thing before I let y'all go. Listeners, with 2021 upon us, in this new year, I want to keep hearing and celebrating you in 2021. So continue to send me the best things that have happened to you all week. You know how it works. Record a voice memo on the phone. Email that file to me. The email address is samsanders@npr.org. You could be on this show spreading cheer to the world. Okay, till Friday, thank y'all for listening. I'm Sam Sanders. We'll talk soon.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Vuori, a new perspective on performance apparel. Clothing designed with premium fabrics, built to move in, styled for life. For 20% off your first purchase, go to Vuori.com/NPR. This message comes from NPR sponsor Rosetta Stone, an expert in language learning for 30 years. Right now, NPR listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership to 25 different languages for 50% off. Learn more at RosettaStone.com/NPR.
What does it mean to be Black in America? And NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of stories as varied, nuanced, and dynamic as Black experiences. You'll hear. It means everything. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get your podcasts.